Right now, I keep trying to think about how to respond to the various questions we get about, well, what's going on in Mexico? What's happening with the energy sector? And I keep coming back to that word. It's so fluid. We are in a moment of fluidity. Things are very fluid. It's moving. It's like water. We're not sure where it's going to go.
We are not sure where it's going to go. It's very fluent. This is how we are going to start to address the topic on the future energy policy in Mexico. Mexico, the second largest economy in Latin America, with more than 125 million people living within, and a growing economy that is demanding larger amounts of energy. So for that matter, we have today a specialist. His name is Rogelio Calderón. He was with us in the first episode of Futuros. He is a partner in Huasteca Ventures, lawyer by the University Anahuac University, with an MBA by the University of Texas, also with more than 16 years experience working with the private industry in Mexico and abroad in countries like China, for example. And he is today with us to explain what is the recent history, the most important recent events in the history of the energy policy in Mexico. Stay with us. We're going to address the recent history and, of course, the future of the energy policy in Mexico. My name is Cesar Vargas, and this is Futuros, the Institute of International Policy podcast. We start now.
For the first time in almost 80 years, the Mexico energy market is open to private competition. Will you be able to capitalize on this great opportunity? But first, let's quickly review a summary of key events related to the Mexico Energy Reform, or MER for short. MER was passed in December 2013. This ended the 76-year oil monopoly held by Pemex by opening the energy sector to outside competition. Starting April 2016, refined products, including gasoline and diesel, joined liquid petroleum gases and can be imported and sold by independent companies. In 2018, gasoline prices will no longer be regulated by Mexico's Ministry of Finance. This is a fundamental change in the supply chain for Mexico's energy market.
Well, so to start to discuss the specific case of Mexico, first of all, Rogelio, I would like to ask you, there was an important reform in 2013, an important energy reform that occurred in 2013. Could you describe in general terms what was the purpose of this reform that happened in 2013?
Yes, indeed, the last energy reform, I think that was one of the major mm-hmm. reforms for the energy sector in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So it was basically intended to allow more private investments into energy activities and creating a market, a deregulated market, for fuels, for power generation, and for exploration and production activities of hydrocarbons.
I see.
It was a long process. There were a lot of new laws that were published, especially for establishing the permitting, all the value chain of natural gas. Fuels, liquid fuels, and electricity, mm-hmm. and crude oil. We have to also bear in mind that this reform didn't allow foreign companies or private companies to own the crude oil or natural gas produced in Mexico. A lot of this reform most of the people outside Mexico, and even within Mexico, they thought that it was only a reform for crude oil, or for natural gas, but it was a big component also for electricity production. Electricity production, it used to be allowed also for private companies, but for self-consumption and for selling directly to the CFE. The CFE resold the electricity to the end users. So, but now with this more schemes that were allowed, and now also private companies, they can install power generation plants and then selling to third parties, to customers, or to the wholesale market. There was also the creation of a wholesale market. And it was intended to do that. I have to say also that the intention, it was good, as I think, but I mean, it's still a very immature market. Why? Because it has been 6-7 years and it was not really implemented until 2015, 2016, that the first contracts among private companies, or private producers and consumers. It was not in 2013 because, you know, implementation is different than making the reform itself. So there's still a lot to do in order to reach a mature market. I also have to say that not all the activities, they were deregulated, because, for example, in electricity, transmission and distribution, they are still part of CFE.
That is the own state electricity company.
Company, yes. That's the incumbent company for electricity in Mexico. And, well, they kept that activity, such activities, as a public service and something like that. So it was not completely deregulated, that activity. But now we have a clear framework on what to do and what private companies can do and what they cannot do. But again, it's different what they intended than what happened, because implementation is different. It was a very complex reform, very difficult to implement, inexperience of the regulators at the time, a lot of inexperience in semi-open markets, if you want to call them like that. It's difficult. So at the beginning, they promised that we were going to produce a lot of mainly crude oil, and the electricity tariff, they were going down. But that didn't happen at the end, because it was a regulated monopoly market, so with a lot of subsidies. And after that, without the subsidies, it's almost understandable that the prices go up instead of going down. And the production, I mean, the intention was good. It took long time for the auctions, blocks for exploring and producing a crude oil and natural gas, for example. So I think we still have a long way to go till we have a mature market in electricity and in exploration and production of hydrocarbons.
One of the things that Mexico needs is to widen the support for the energy reform inside Mexico. People don't know the reform, people don't understand the reform, and people are overcritical of the reform. I can understand why, because the way that the government tried to convince people of the good things of the reform was at a political level, with political messages that sometimes don't make sense from a technical point of view. Like, for instance, you know, saying that by the end of the administration, we would be producing 3 million barrels a day, which is impossible. Technically, it's impossible. So people are skeptical about the reform. And
okay, Rogelio, in the short and midterm, what kind of energy do you think, for the Mexican case, the country should go? what kind of energy they should try to achieve?
To cleaner energy, mm-hmm. of course, as the whole world is doing, mm-hmm. but also without forgetting the electricity supply is not only about renewable energy now, as I mentioned in the previous podcast. Some technologies are still very immature. So we still need some base load generation with fossil fuel or transition fuels like natural gas. So I think they have to push for renewable energy, not only in auctions, not only the government paying for the electricity produced by private companies in centralized power generation plants or wind farms, but also allowing, as I have seen, allowing that private and companies, consumers, they produce electricity on site, they self-supply their own electricity. But for the national grid, I think natural gas is going to be a very good option as a transition fuel again, until some other technologies they reach more maturity, mm-hmm. especially for that they can continuously produce electricity. Because as of now, if we have a renewable park, for example, let's say solar and wind, we still need some backup mm-hmm. to produce electricity 24/7. Mm-hmm. So that's an additional investment. As of now, we have cheap natural gas coming from the United States, so we can take advantage of that and produce more with natural gas. I really hope that also Mexico starts producing more natural gas, mm-hmm. just for decreasing the amount of natural gas imported by, from the United States and from other countries through liquefied natural gas, LNG, and having an equilibrium there. So maybe we import 40% and we produce 60 or 50-50, but not as of today, that we mainly import natural gas from other countries.
Mm-hmm. And specifically talking about renewable energy, what do you think is the importance of renewable energy in Mexico? It's now, or it's becoming an important sector, an important part of the energy production in the country, or not at all?
It's an important part. Well, we have to bear in mind also that the current government, they canceled some electric auctions. Mm-hmm. Where private companies, they were bidding for building mainly renewable energy projects and then supplying to the market. Mm-hmm. But they were canceled a couple of years ago, I think. And why? Because the government says, okay, they promised that the projects, they were going to be operational in 1 or 2 or 3 years. And as of today, they haven't been like that. So they are under schedule. Mm-hmm. And also, it's important. Why? Because we have seen that private companies and end users, they have increased their capacity of distributed generation, for example. And because why? Because you can install a rooftop solar mm-hmm. project, I mean, an industrial park and that. But from the government point of view, it's also important. They have been announcing that they are going to revamp some of the hydroelectric plants that we have in Mexico, around 60, and some other solar projects, smaller instead of very big ones.
Hydroelectric is considered renewable energy, right?
Yeah, it's renewable. I mean, there's among scholars, they talk about renewable and clean energy, Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to talk a lot about that because that's just about etymology. Mm-hmm. But at the end, energy, electricity that is produced through a renewable process, or the flow of water. Mm-hmm. So yes, let's say that is a clean energy. And also bear in mind that solar and wind are not the only clean technologies in the world. Yeah. So it's important also in Mexico because we have some commitments, and that's the trend around the world, just to produce more electricity with different cleaner sources. But also Mexico, we have to understand that we cannot only install clean energy or clean technologies mm-hmm. in a very, very immature market. We have had so many problems around, since many, many decades ago with transmission and distribution infrastructure in Mexico. And as we know, Mexico is a very large, big country with around 2 million square kilometers. Mm-hmm. And also we have access to
130 million, almost 130 million people.
Yes. And growing. So I think for Mexico, as for any country, they are important, but it's also important just to secure the way such clean energy is going to reach the end users. Some people is talking about creating more transmission and distribution infrastructure. That's okay. That's part of the plan. But it's not only about installing new infrastructure. So we also have to think about the money that it costs just to set up such infrastructure. So it's important. And I have seen that now there's a tendency, just instead of centralized power generation, mm-hmm. moving a little bit more to producing electricity by regions, just like in other countries like the United States, that California and some other states, they have their own grid. Mm-hmm. Instead, in Europe, well, the countries are smaller, so some of them, they might have only one electric system, one grid. So it's a mix of problems. Mm-hmm. It's not only about producing electricity, but also just to such electricity to reach the end users. Yes, I see.
One of the most geographically diverse countries on Earth, with sun-scorched deserts, wind-swept coastlines, and raging rivers, Mexico is a prime location for renewable energy investment. Indeed, in recent years, Mexico has attracted foreign direct investment in renewable energy from across the globe, from countries like the US, Spain, and Germany.
So also this tendency, this trend for cleaner energy is in order to fight climate change, right?
Yes, and especially producing less greenhouse gases mm-hmm. and CO2, which are considered to be the most polluting gases SOx and some others as well, but CO2 is one of the main greenhouse gases. Mm-hmm. producing less in our daily life, in our daily production.
I see. I guess it's important to clarify that there is a government that is trying, the current government in Mexico that just entered in functions in 2018. It is perceived by many specialists as one government that is trying to reverse the 2013 reform. Could you discuss a little bit what are the main lines on the current energy policy government? Which are the main lines, the main trends that this new administration is implementing? in comparing, of course, with the with what happened in 2013.
Okay. Yeah, we have to understand that energy policy changes every 6 years in Mexico, mm-hmm. and with every change of government in any country. Mm-hmm. But here in Mexico, now the policy is more towards producing within the country more and more instead of only importing. Mm-hmm. Just trying to close the gap between imports and internal production. That's the main idea of the energy policy in Mexico now. That's the reason why we are building, for example, a new refinery mm-hmm. in the southeast part of Mexico, because the government wants to have some self-sufficiency.
You're talking about Dos Bocas, right?
Dos Bocas, yes, Dos Bocas refinery.
Tabasco State in southern Mexico, and construction is booming. Planned to be ready for commercial production by 2022, this will be the Dos Bocas oil refinery, Mexico's largest, capable of producing nearly 300,000 barrels of gasoline and diesel a day. Amid the economic devastation of the global pandemic, this mega project has created more than 34,000 jobs.
This is a great opportunity for us, given that most of the energy refining industry is in the United States. It's going to generate a lot of employment in the region.
A self-sufficiency in liquid fuels, just like gasoline and diesel. So that's the main idea. Also, for producing electricity, they are trying to revamp or to, yes, to revamp existing power generation from the CFE, mm-hmm. that is the main electric company in Mexico. So with these 60 hydroelectric power plants, and some geothermal, also increasing the geothermal production in Mexico, and natural gas also. Mm-hmm. So the tendency is just to try to produce more electricity in Mexico mm-hmm. instead of importing, because also we imported a lot of electricity in the northern part of Mexico. In the south part, we used to export, as far as I can remember, to Guatemala, and I think now we're importing electricity.
From Guatemala?
Guatemala, yes.
Wow.
And now we're, and this is the main trend now. About, there have been many, many people talking about counter reform, mm-hmm. just to invalidating the previous reform. I think this is most of an adjustment. Why? Because we have to understand that every law and every reform, they have flaws. Mm-hmm. So as long as the time goes, you see, okay, the idea was okay, but the implementation, it was not correct, or the results didn't match what they promised, what somebody promised. Mm-hmm. That this is something normal. It changes in strategy of any given company in the world. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the circumstances change throughout time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more of an adjustment and to create an equilibrium from what happened with the energy reform. Why? Because the energy reform, yes, indeed, it was for more private investment, more private companies just to enter the energy market in Mexico. But there were some problems there. Mm-hmm. And maybe the CFE and other companies, they were in a disadvantage with such laws. So it's not only about private companies. It's not only about state-owned companies. It has to be an equilibrium. Mm-hmm. So what I see now is that it's trying to reach such equilibrium and allowing also some other companies, smaller companies, just to enter the market.
Mm-hmm. I see. Very well. Well, could you talk a little bit more about on the public companies? We mentioned already CFE and this, that is the public owned company in charge of electricity production in Mexico. But there is the second one that is also very important for oil, that is Pemex. In the current administration, what is happening with the CFE in Spanish and Pemex? Could you talk a little bit about them?
Yes, this government wants to strengthen such companies. Mm-hmm. They want to them to be involved in more and more crude oil production and power generation. So the history of CFE and Pemex is very difficult to understand. It's not only they were played with corruption throughout the years, mm-hmm. and they need to be more efficient. Of course, that's something I agree with that. And trying to give them more importance as it used to be many years ago, maybe before the 2013 energy reform. So, but also they provide jobs and work not only for the people that they work there, but also for Mexican companies, small to mid-sized companies, mm-hmm. that they participate in the public bids that they publish. So some work, supply, and other activities. So we have to bear that in mind as well. With the mm-hmm. previous energy reform, it was intended that private companies, they will give jobs, and subcontract companies, Mexican companies with national content. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen like that.
For what you mentioned before, no? That the market was very immature and also implementation was not fast enough, maybe?
Yeah, because maybe the previous reform it was more private companies oriented, mm-hmm. and less oriented to public companies. So it's not a competition. You have to reach an equilibrium. I will use this word because that's very important. Thinking that only private companies can do the job, at, or that all companies they are going to produce oil, or that all companies are going to structure projects and selling electricity, that's a mistake. Mm-hmm. There are different companies, different sizes, different activities. So not all of them, they are interested in the same activities. And maybe now, I don't know, I hope not, we are more oriented to public companies. Mm-hmm. So there can be something, there should be something in between. Yes.
In Mexico, the Chamber of Deputies approved the reform to the electricity industry law presented by President Andrés Manuel López Obrador with the objective, according to the president, of recovering state control over this strategic sector.
The purpose of the reform to the electricity industry law, sent to Parliament on February 1st by President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, and which has already been endorsed by the Chamber of Deputies, is to strengthen the Federal Electricity Commission.
So, for the Mexican private companies and also for the public companies, the current situation, 2021, what kind of economic opportunities appear for them in the horizon? What do you think?
I think there are plenty of opportunities for both public and private companies. For public companies, they have to become more efficient and to decrease the levels of corruption, and trying to open more opportunities for Mexican and international private companies just to participate in the bids and the work that they do. Just like I mentioned about the CFE, opening more bids maybe for supply of equipment and some other works, other facilities, and also for international companies, mainly for small to mid-sized companies. Why? Because for large companies, maybe they are large projects that they are going to build, just like a new power plant. But we have also to understand there's a second step, that it's for small to mid-sized companies. And they are not going to be able maybe to build a huge power production plants. So that's for the public companies, talking about CFE and Pemex. They have to become more efficient in their processes and their activities. And also for private companies, we have to understand that Mexico renewable projects and power production projects, they are not forbidden. So as long as you can get your permits and comply with regulation, finding somebody that will buy, for example, electricity. So you can set up a power generation plant and selling to private consumers. So just we have to understand also here that there are two ways that private companies, they can approach to the market, to the Mexican market as of today. One is in a passive way, just waiting for the big companies, private or public, they issue bids or they call for a request for proposals, and then participating in the process. But also in a more active way, they can structure and plan installation of a power project, for example, and start looking for clients and, well, executing the contracts, PPAs, power purchase agreements. Also in natural gas, there's a huge opportunity in natural gas for selling gas, not only from the pipelines to the end users. There's a big part of Mexico in the south, southeast, that they have not access to pipelines. So for producing and selling liquefied natural gas or compressed natural gas, just to reaching some remote areas, that's also a big opportunity for some private companies, maybe approaching to the government also, and trying to structure projects, social projects, because there are plenty of territory in Mexico that they lack electricity or they lack reliable electricity. So just to be more active, just approaching to the government or approaching to the clients. And for example, with distributed generation, on-site power generation, that for smaller consumers, not only the big companies, but also the small and mid-sized companies.
Okay.
That's a huge opportunity also for equipment suppliers or producers. I mean, there's a lot of technology producers, not only in China. I mean, not all technology comes from China, also a lot from Europe. So also they can approach to the government or to the private companies in Mexico and opening the market, not only waiting for a request of proposals or an electric auction, just to be more proactive, maybe also trying to make joint ventures. I mean, we have seen some companies in Chinese companies that now they are producing technology in Mexico after so many years that they were only selling the products, but they decided just to come to Mexico and set up a manufacturing plant, maybe small, and then growing little by little. So I think there's a lot of opportunity if you can just be more proactive instead of waiting for somebody else to invite you to prepare or to make a proposal.
I see.
These first natural gas-powered models were imported from China. The next generation will be made here in Mexico. It's the result of an alliance between two bus companies, one Mexican, one Chinese, that are constructing a manufacturing plant here in the region with the capacity to produce nearly 5,000 vehicles a year for the North American market. The project is just one example of an increasing investment trend in Mexico, which sees Chinese companies creating strategic alliances with their Mexican counterparts. The new fleet is also representing savings for the city.
And you mentioned already that European companies may have also opportunities. Could you go a little bit further on this? What kind of economic opportunities are open now in this 2021 for European companies in Mexico? So talking about energy, specifically the opportunities in the energy sector, could you sum up which will be these opportunities in the energy sector? For example, you already mentioned like joining with local companies in order to, for example, create hydroelectric. Is possible for private companies to invest in a hydroelectric, or that is just for CFE?
It's not only for CFE. I mean, those are very complex projects, but they probably can set up a joint venture for providing services to the existing hydropower plants.
Okay.
Now I think Canada is Hydro-Quebec. I think they were in talks with the Mexican government for revamping such hydroelectric plants. Mm-hmm. But you can produce electricity from a river also without having to build a dam. So that's also one opportunity. I mean, for companies that they are very experienced in that, in Europe, they have a lot of experience in hydro. Mm-hmm. So you can build your own power production facilities and selling to the end users. I mean, it's more complex, of course, but it's possible. And also, they could join with some other Mexican companies and just to increase production of technology, or produce, I don't know, solar panels, or produce other technology.
What about oil?
Well, companies, European companies, they are now participating in bids with Pemex mainly for providing services and for supplying equipment. Mm-hmm. That would be mainly the opportunity. I have seen new companies that I never heard of before, mainly from Scandinavia, that they have and that they have a lot of experience in the North Sea with this. So that can be also an opportunity that some companies they are approaching to the government, I mean to the client. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, beyond the invitations, beyond the public auctions or the public bids, in a more proactive way, there's also so many opportunities, untapped opportunities, and there's not a lot of competition. In natural gas, for wholesale of natural gas, liquefied natural gas production, and compressed natural gas production, and commercialization, for example.
In which areas is this, in which geographically, you mentioned already that in the south east. Could you be more specific? Where can be these opportunities for natural gas?
Yes, in Oaxaca, Yucatan Peninsula, mainly, south of Veracruz. I mean, we have a very limited pipeline system. Most of the pipelines run from central Mexico to the northern part of Mexico, but in south, southeast part of Mexico, there we lack a lot of gas pipelines. We have few transportation and some of distribution, some distribution areas, but there are so many places where we still are using LPG, and it can be changed to natural gas. I mean, not from pipelines only, but in other ways of processing natural gas and transporting it. Just for example, for the mines, that the mines run on fuel, oil and diesel mainly, because they are in a very remote areas. So they can supply natural gas to them. So instead of using fuel, oil and diesel, so they use natural gas. Here we have to understand also that the opportunity costs for such companies is not the natural gas, the cheap natural gas in Texas, because they don't have natural gas and they don't have pipelines to get access to them. So even if it's a little bit more expensive, just like with liquefaction or compression, so it can be a good option for them.
Okay.
As a result, global energy demand is expected to double by 2050 when compared to 2000. To help meet this demand, gas will form an increasingly important role. Natural gas is plentiful and is the cleanest burning fossil fuel. But some natural gas resources are in remote locations. Transporting the gas long distances by pipeline can be costly and impractical. The solution? We liquefy the gas by cooling it, which shrinks its volume for easier, economical, and safe transportation by ship.
And about renewable energies like solar and wind power, there are opportunities or not at all?
Yes, there are opportunities, mainly for end users. Mm-hmm. So they can provide end users with on-site power generation. Mm-hmm. Or in remote areas also, or in certain parts of the country that they don't have reliable electricity, if they add some storage, mm-hmm. battery storage, for example, mm-hmm. they can supply electricity too. Basically, as long as there's a consumption center, they can build a power production plant, maybe not centralized again, maybe not a huge power plant, but a smaller power plant. And also European companies, they can help with financing. Financing is always an important part of any project. It's not only about selling the technology and building the power plant. It's also financing. How will you finance that infrastructure? So there can be some opportunities, not only in US dollars or in euros, maybe. They can also make some hedging for currency hedging. Mm-hmm. And they, at some point, they could probably give loans in Mexican pesos. Mm-hmm. So that can help a lot. So there are many, many ways that they can that European companies can tap some opportunities in Mexico. Why? Because we have seen so many companies, big, large companies, that they have been doing business in Mexico for so many years. But that doesn't mean that smaller or mid-sized companies, they cannot do the same. Most of the large companies, majors, they are already in Mexico. Mm-hmm. But economies of scale, also in certain parts, they do not apply, because Mexico is so huge that maybe building a power generation plant and having to transport the electricity for 300, 400, 500 kilometers, it doesn't make sense. or it becomes more expensive than if you build a smaller power plant, but closer to the consumers. We have seen so many companies that they have been trying to do that in Mexico. Some of them, they have been successful, some others not.
And I think one advice that we can give to the European companies that want to invest specifically in energy is to get in contact with you. You have a company that is actually advising private businesses to do to land their projects in the Huasteca, right?
Yes. We work mainly with small to mid-sized companies, aiming to enter Mexican market or expanding their activities.
What kind of services are you offering? What kind of services?
We offer advice in contracts, in regulation, in structuring the project, in soft landing. We have now two offices, one in Monterrey, that's the industrial part of Mexico, in Mexico City, and one in Portugal also. So we'll be more than happy to help some more small to mid-sized companies. And that they do something in Mexico is also it's my country. I was born in Veracruz. So we'll be more than happy to help and to give them a broader idea of what's really happening in Mexico and some opportunities beyond the opportunities that we see on the newspapers day after day. So because small to mid-sized companies, Mexican and European, they can serve different markets than the large companies, than the oil majors. And from here, one day I would like to see Mexico that instead of only assembling and having maquila, that we also produce some more goods and export to Europe, to Africa, to Central and South America.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, so Rogelio, thank you very much for your time and for explaining what is happening currently in Mexico in the energy policy. Do you have any last comment before we leave?
No, I just want to thank you for the invitation, and I hope that we can talk about other topics in the future. Maybe some European companies, they have questions about certain things in Mexico. Probably they can reach to you and say, okay, we would like to talk about, I don't know, the agro industry, or what are the opportunities for our companies just to set up a joint venture in Mexico or something like that. I will be more than happy just to give you my humble opinion. And whatever you need, please let me know.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Rogelio. We invite you to follow Rogelio's work in huastecaventures.com. That's the name of his consultancy. huastecaventures.com, where you can follow more about the projects and get extra information on his job. And of course, if you want to contact him personally, you can write him in his email address, which is rogelio@huastecaventures.com. So there you have. The email address is rogelio@huastecaventures.com. And the website is huastecaventures.com. Both links are going to be annexed to today's episode. That will be all for us. Thank you very much for your time. We hope to see you here next week. Before I go, I'm going to give you a cultural recommendation. In this time, I'm going to go for a book. The name of this book is China. Very simple, China. Written by Henry Kissinger, the famous or infamous former American Secretary of State in the United States. In this book, he's describing all the complexities and also personal anecdotes in the process to get diplomatic and communication channels open between the US and the People's Republic of China. Very interesting. If you love international politics, definitely this is a must read book. That will be all for me. Please take care, keep safe, and we will see you here next week. This was Futuros. My name is Cesar Vargas. See you soon.
El barrio.